So that is how you make a machine gun wizard.
Let's see somebody break this. Hold my beer.
That was pretty much it.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
So today with us, we would like to welcome back Brian and Anna. You might remember them from episode 28 of Campaign Stories, Fluid and Goofy. How are you guys doing?
Oh, just fine. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
I guess that means we didn't completely suck. So.
Oh, no. Last time was a blast.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yes, it was.
We still talk about that.
We have pretty more to share at some other later date.
Yeah.
At some later date. Yes. Mm-hmm. But today is about Pathfinder, specifically the Pathfinder playtest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. All right. They released that Gen Con
last year,
a little like right around that time, because Pathfinder First Edition is 10 years old, and they decided it was time for an update, as opposed to keep tacking extra stuff on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good life for a single edition right there.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things they said about that, their goal with the original Pathfinder was to take the D&D 3.5 and make the best version of that. And this time they just wanted to take it and make the best version of their game. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things that got filtered and reshaped as they went looking through.
Yep.
Well, I think that's really cool, and that's an interesting approach on it. Yeah. But me, personally, I have never played Pathfinder.
I have not either.
I've seen it around. It looks really cool. I've painted some Pathfinder minis. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know absolutely nothing about it. So teach us.
Yeah. Give us a quick rundown of Pathfinder in general, I guess. Then we'll branch out into what's new.
That's, as said, the first edition was the attempt to take the 3.5 D&D rules and fine-tune them into the best that they could be. Mm-hmm. But of course, there's a little weird twitches in that because some things are copyrighted by WotC, TSR, and the rest, and so you can't have things like mind flayers. They're not allowed. So they had to come up with other eldritch creatures to live in the dark and suck your brains out. But
I mean,
mostly,
must have, so.
Yes.
They kept most of it the same. They put their own little twist on some of the things, like their gnomes or fey creatures.
It's and their elves, unlike everywhere else, are not fey creatures. They're actually, if I remember correctly, they're actually aliens. If you dig into the lore,
seems reasonable.
What?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And they dig more into that. They released another game about the same time that they released the playtest called Starfinder, and they started the project at the same time. So there are things that are in Starfinder that you will see in the playtest, but they diverged enough that they're separate. So
the sci-fi with elves and dwarves and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
For the Pathfinder playtest, they did things differently. At this point, I'll dive into character creation at least a little bit. There are ways to roll dice for your stats. They don't do that in the playtest because they wanted to standardize character creation so that everybody would be playing on an equal footing and it would be easier for them to gather the data.
Yeah, they have they listed the character creation options in the book, and they said for the playtest, use this one, which is basically it's a point by style. Everybody starts with a certain amount and then you put little boosts, is what they call them, until you add up to whatever you're going to get. Of course, you're going to want to stack them in your primary stat for your class.
Yeah. They call it like the ABCs of character creation because you have ancestries,
That's your race.
They did away with the term race. they call them ancestries, but, dwarf, elf, gnome, goblin, and so on. Oh, yeah. Paizo, since they're
their mascot is a
goblin. They were debating what other race to put in. They went, why are we not putting in a goblin? And so they did.
Yeah, goblins seems a core race.
And then they have backgrounds, you know, basically what you did before you were an adventurer.
They have things like their nobility.
Yeah.
You were you know, in with the upper crust, or laborer. You went out in the fields and yeah. You know, broke rocks and stuff.
Blacksmith, merchant, scout, warrior. You know, that sort of thing. And these all give you an ability, or give you two ability boosts. And what those are is, we'll dig into that a little bit, is an ability boost gives you 2 points to a stat. And if you get more than one in a step of character creation, you can't put them on the same stat. So you can't just go, okay, I'm dumping both of these in constitution or intelligence or what have you. You can stack them from different steps, though.
Right. So your ancestry gives you some, your background gives you some, and then your class, which is the third one, gives you some. So if you stack them all...
You get a couple free ones
at the end.
Like two free ones, I believe, at the end. So if you stack them all up, yeah, you can get
start with an 18.
Yeah.
Usually just one.
Yeah. It's normally like an 18, a 16, some 12s and 14s and stuff. Your background also gives you a feat, a skill feat, and a trained skill so that you're not completely useless.
I don't know how familiar you guys are with the 3.5 D&D setup.
None.
Skills, all the rest of it. Okay. We should go back to the basic D20 system. This is a D20 system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have the classic six D&D stats that Pathfinder kept: strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, charisma. Skills are stat-based rolls. You take your stat plus your skill bonus, you roll against it and try to get, you know, beat the number using the bonus.
Right.
So if you have something easy, you might take your stat and skill bonus and try and add it to a D20 to try to beat like 10. So roll a 12 or higher with a plus 7. That's pretty easy. That's the basics on how it works. Mm-hmm. Feats are special abilities that you get, like, because of your class or because of, you know, other things, like the ability to wield two weapons at the same time, or the ability to jump twice as far as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So stats, very much like D&D, kind of following that pattern. And it sounds like feats are kind of following that same pattern as well.
Yeah, they evolved from 3.5. So, it's not going to be very far off. They don't, at this point, there's not a huge selection of general feats or skill feats specifically, because, again, this is just...
This is the opening set.
Right.
3 years from now, they'll have 5 different splat books with like extra classes.
Oh,
exactly.
Easily. Once you've gone through your and your ancestry gives you,
your ancestry abilities, like, you know, dwarves have dark, light, or low light vision, and elves will have low light vision, those kinds of things that you expect to get. Humans get an extra feat because they're humans.
Yeah. They added, in addition to, you know, ancestries giving you specific things, they changed things a little bit around because as they've been going through the playtest, they found things that didn't work and things that worked. So they've put out errata. The last one that they put out was November of last year. And as far as they've said, this is the last one. It changed things up a tiny amount in terms of character creation. I mean, all the basics are still the same. They got rid of a few things here and there, but not much.
They ditched a few feats and simplified some. And then they added your ancestry automatically gives you a selection of, what do they call them, feats or?
Heritages.
Heritages.
Yeah.
They have like 3 heritages listed for each ancestry. You pick one and get some stuff. You have that. Files.
Yeah, I do. I have that up. You know, for example, I'm just going to go to elves because they're early on in this. They have things like they've got, you know, heritages. They've got Arctic elf, cavern elf, keen-eared elf, jungle elf. We don't call the cavern elves drow anymore because, well,
copyright.
I think it's copyright. but elf gives you cold resistance equal to half your level and the ability to ignore extreme and severe cold down to 80 degrees, negative 80 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's just, it's nifty little things. They change things a minor amount so that you're not all necessarily going to be the same.
You're not all generic elf.
Yeah. I will say I'm a little frustrated at their use of the word inflammable for inflammable goblin. Because it gives you fire resistance, and that's not what that word means.
Unless they mean you can pour oil over yourself and set yourself on fire.
I guess, yeah. So,
I mean, I guess technically, if it wasn't wearing anything, you couldn't just light it on fire itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
technically, oil and then launched it through a catapult.
We're not to that story. That's a totally different system. We will get there.
They will catch on fire then.
Yes. So little things like that. They used to do a thing called signature classes, which they did away with. I'm kind of glad about that. Signature skills, excuse me. They did away with those. And I'm kind of glad about that because they were things that you were, like, classes were really good at. But it also meant that only those classes could train up to, they've got...
It was expert or master.
Yeah, it's like... Levels. Yeah, untrained, trained, expert, and master.
Yeah, it's trained, expert, master, legendary.
Oh, legendary, okay. So yeah, it's minus, yeah, it is minus four, level, plus one, plus two, plus three. Yeah.
The higher levels mostly determine which skill feats you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, we should probably go over the classes before we jump into the nuts and bolts of...
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about some classes.
Okay, so we have your alchemist, mix potions, mix elixirs, throw bombs, very similar to D&D. Barbarian,
rage.
Rage. Hit things maybe?
Yeah, they can hit things, they can rage. And depending,
they did an interesting thing, they gave them totems that define what flavor of rage they have.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they all give you various abilities based around, you know, those, you know, what they are and that sort of thing. Bard.
Which, you know, singer, booster, spellcaster. They did an interesting thing.
Oh, yeah.
They divided up the spells. There's divine, arcane, occult, and primal. Divine is your, you know, holy magic, holy unholy magic. Arcane is your standard wizard set. Occult, the bard is the bards and sorcerers. And it's an interesting set that kind of staggers the line between the arcane and divine. It has boosts type things, it has illusions, and it has some damage in there, but not nearly as much as the arcane. And then the primal is your druidic set, your natural order type stuff.
Gotcha. That's an interesting way to divide it up.
Yeah, we'll touch more on that here in a minute when we get back down to sorcerer. We've got clerics. I mean, clerics are
your standard tin can that casts spells.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Druids, they're not that different. They broke them up a little bit.
Yeah, they have animal, leaf, storm, or wild for druidical orders, so you can kind of change the flavor up a bit.
Yeah.
But again, it's pretty much what you expect from a druid.
Yeah.
Get fighter, high enough in level, you turn into an animal, you claw people.
Yeah, and depending on which circle you take, you get an extra feat at first level.
And they do have it, as you get higher level, some of the other feats are things like turning into insects and elementals and stuff, which is cool. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with a fighter. One thing I will say that I have seen, I have not written up a fighter, but going through the fighter that they have in here and looking at the feats, they've actually made a one-handed fighter, not just a sword and board one-hand fighter, just a plain old, you know, one weapon in one hand and empty hand in the other, a viable option.
Really?
They have specific feats for doing the athletic grabbing and throwing people around type moves.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let me see if I can.
I like that.
Combat grab, right at first level.
they gave warriors an ability to detect invisible people and show people where they are.
What?
the basis of it is when they find where they are, they take their weapon and stab it into their enemy.
So they tell everybody target the sword or dagger or whatever.
Yeah.
There it is. It's a very fighter way.
That's a very fighter way of saying, yep, that's where they are.
Found them.
I like that too.
Monks are, well, we have monks. They are
your bare hand fighter.
Except they gave them things called they gave them ki. I mean, which you have in third edition. Mm-hmm. They gave them a way to do kind of. They call them powers. They're not spells. They have powers, and clerics have them, and bards have them, and
yeah. One druids. Of the things they did is every class has powers, except for I think maybe fighter.
Yeah, and so they can do various. I mean, they can actually do ranged attacks and such with this key. And then we have paladin. I both like and dislike some of the things they've done with paladin. I will say this right now, with the latest update on paladin, or with the latest errata. They broke them into lawful good, neutral good, and chaotic good.
Yeah.
And they gave them different abilities. I both like and dislike this, and that's...
I have been playing various forms of D&D and Pathfinder since I was 7 years old. So it is probably not a surprise that I'm unhappy with this idea.
Yeah, I am mostly unhappy with this, but I can understand how people...
I understand why, because a lot of people find mm-hmm. lawful good a difficult alignment to play.
Sure. But
also, paladins have always been kind of a special class. In first and second edition, you had to have a 17 in your charisma to play one. You know, that was not, the dice had to fall just right. You had to plug it in there to get to actually play one.
Right.
It's always been kind of a limited for the people who really want to stretch and try to do this stuff. But, you know, they get a lot of cool abilities. People want to play them.
Yeah, and they broke the code. They have a general paladin code, and then they have additions based on your, to that code based on your alignment.
Yeah.
My one thing that I wish they had done is I just wish they'd called neutral good and chaotic good paladin something else. And that would pretty much satisfy my gripe.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in old first edition, paladin was a subclass of cavalier, and they don't have cavalier in the playtest. They could have just fixed it that way.
Well, they do and they don't. That's further along.
They will come up with it eventually, I'm sure. You know, whatever advanced guide that they come out with.
And moving along, we have ranger, another classic class. Again, either, you know, hand-to-hand or ranged.
With an animal companion.
With or without.
Yeah, you can opt not have it. Hmm. They did make it so that you can do the ranged tricks and feats with crossbows as well as longbows, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Some of the two weapon feats in here are insanely fun to look at.
They have the ability to designate a target for a hunt. There are other feats that allow you to share that bonus from that with either your companions or, you know, that your party members or your animal companion. I mean, the very basic feat at level one is called Monster Hunter. That's when you critically succeed to identify a target you're hunting with recall knowledge, you and your allies, if you tell them, gain a +1 circumstance bonus to your next attack roll against it, but not other creatures of that species. And the last line here says that creature is bolstered. Bolstered, well, I'll cover this for...
It just means you can't use that skill on it again.
Yeah, it's immune.
Gotcha.
That's okay. All that means.
That makes sense.
And, you know, those benefits get better as you go, you know, up, all the way up. Like the very last one, if you keep just focusing on the hunting feats at level 20, called Shadow Hunter, creatures other than the target you're hunting always treat you as concealed in natural terrain. Wow. So, yeah.
You got to get to level 20.
Yeah, it's work, but yeah. Rogues, they have...
Standard rogue.
Well, sort of. They, again, changed things up a little bit. Normally, rogues, you think, are based around dexterity. They actually put techniques in. And your normal one is a finesse striker, which means instead of using strength, you use dexterity to hit. And also adds to damage with your attacks. They also have brutes, which don't use dexterity. They use strength. It's more of your kind of intimidating character.
Mm-hmm.
Your slug in the corner.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they, also have, kind of like your grifters and such. They've got scoundrels and they get scoundrels faint. So they can attempt to trick their opponent and just make them flat footed.
An interesting thing here, since they made, disarming traps part of the trickery skill, and anybody can take that skill. So it's not the exclusive province of the rogue, though they have feats that make them better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not shooting your party in the foot if you don't happen to have one.
Yep.
That's cool.
I really like that breakup of the rogue.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, generally, I'm more of dexterity, but you know, I love the idea of being able to go, hey, you know what? Let's not do the typical, you know, sneaky rogue. Let's go ahead and we'll do the brute and be the thug in the background.
Yeah.
Or go for the
Han Solo type.
Yeah. Well, that's more the scoundrel, but yeah
that's what I'm saying. That's right. Another option.
Yeah. I'm going to skip sorcerer for a minute because they did something interesting with them. Like we mentioned, then we have wizard, you know, your master of magic. And unfortunately wizards really did get weighted towards that. And a lot more than anybody else.
They are really good at their job.
I sat down and looked at their feats, and I figured out how to make a wizard at level 20 that could get somewhere near to 20 spells by casting like 9.
Wow.
What? So let me walk through this real quick.
Yes, please. Yeah, please do.
wizards get a feature called Arcane Focus. and what Arcane Focus does, gives you a feat called Drain Arcane Focus. Most of your wizards can only do this once a day if you decide to pick a school. And what this does is you store the arcane power in your focus, and it gives you the ability to cast a spell that you prepared previously and you expended it without using a spell slot. So if you have it, you know, if you're like, oh crap, we need another fireball, you're casting another fireball. No big deal there. Now, if you decide to totally eschew any of the schools and go universalist, you get it once per day per each spell level. So,
Whoa. So
we're not done. There's the beginning. So that means you can cast, you know, you cast 9 spells and you can do 9 more. You can do those 9 again. Level 8 feat called Focus Conservation. Add a somatic casting action to the casting. You gain an extra use of Drain Arcane Focus that you can use to cast a spell with a level at least 2 levels lower than the triggering spell. You must use this extra use of Drain Arcane Focus before the end of your next turn or you lose it. So, let's go through this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You cast a first level, a third level, a fifth, a seventh, and a ninth. So there's 4 spells. You use Drain Arcane Focus for your 9th level. You've got, and for anything that normally has 2 casting actions, you add somatic to do it again. So suddenly I get a free Arcane Focus, or a free Drain Arcane Focus for level 7. So now we've gone from 4 spells to 6. There's nothing in this feat that says, when I use this one, I don't get an additional one. You get a level 5, repeat to 3, repeat to 1. So we've got 8 spells there. Yeah, but suddenly you repeat for level 7. So you use, now you've used Drain Arcane Focus out of your 9 uses for the day twice. And then you do 5, 3, 1. So I guess, actually no, that should have been 10 spells. And now you're up to, and then you do 5, 3, and 1. And then you do 2, 4, 6, 8, and repeat down.
Wow.
Yeah. So they wanted a broken spellcaster, and I went, all right, I can do that. So that is how you make a machine gun wizard.
Let's see somebody break this. Hold my beer.
that was pretty much it. I mean, I love wizards, so I sat down and read it, and I went, okay, yep, that's broken.
Wow. Yeah, that is intense.
I mean, that makes playing a wizard seem kind of fun because I have more than 3 spells I can use for the day.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's really awesome, but nobody else can do this. Nobody. So I feel really bad for the other casters. I mean, druids get, you know, wild shape or what have you. But for pure magical might, no one can beat that.
So, no, definitely not. There's
yeah so that's kind of a, did they really go over this? I don't think so. We're gonna dive back to the sorcerer because they did something really cool with a sorcerer that I really like.
Okay.
Sorcerer is normally, you go, okay, fine, I'm playing a sorcerer, I get arcane spells. No.
With sorcerers, the bloodlines are where they get their inherent magical power, right? Mm-hmm. And so, depending on which bloodline you pick, you could have any of the four magical types.
Yeah. They have
angelic and demonic for divine.
They got aberrant, which gives you occult. Draconic, which is arcane. Fae, which gives you primal. They've got you imperial, which is arcane. And I think, did they add another one? I don't think they added another one. And I will admit, they get bloodline feats, and those are cool and neat and fun. Angelic bloodline gives you a halo.
Cool. And wings later on.
Cool.
The advanced power. Or the greater power, you get Celestial Brand, which is a level 2 power.
Draconic Bloodline, if you take all the powers, you know, you have claws, then you get breath, then you get wings.
Right,
you
know,
so that's
right.
Cool stuff to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff to get.
Uh-huh.
So, I want
wings.
Yeah. Who doesn't want
There's
wings?
There's a couple different ways right. to get wings.
Yeah.
The Aberrant gets tentacles, so, you know.
Oh, there we go. That's what I want. I want tentacles.
Yeah, well, who doesn't want...
Right up Lee's alley.
Who doesn't want tentacles? Okay, Celestial Brand. Let's go find this again. A blazing symbol appears on the target, marking it for divine justice. You and your allies receive a +1 conditional bonus to your attack rolls and skill checks against it. Anytime a good creature damages it, it deals 2d4 additional good damage. Target is bolstered against all castings of Celestial Brand.
Right.
So, I don't know if
the
that
one works. Disappointment I have on sorcerers is in Pathfinder First Edition D&D 3.5, sorcerers' shtick, other than the bloodlines, is they got more casts per day of their spells. Like, their spell selection was less, but they got to do it more often. And they didn't do that for this Pathfinder Second Edition.
Well, for the playtest so far, everybody.
The same number of spells as everybody else.
Yeah.
Except wizards who could break things, you know.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
As we pointed out, yeah. At 20th level, as of right now, everyone gets 3 casts of every spell level, 1st through 9th. They did the same thing with cantrips that 5th edition did. You can cast them over and over. They cost you nothing. And they do get more powerful as you level, which is nice.
Yeah, they did the thing, what they call the heightening spells, where you can cast a spell as if it were a higher level spell out of a higher level slot.
Right.
So to do more oomph behind it. Mm-hmm. And cantrips can automatically heighten. So some of the cantrips stay really wimpy because their effect is kind of, you know, there. I like what they did with Detect Magic. They made it like a radar bing. Because it's a cantrip, and so you just get a 30-foot impression of everything around you. And since it's a cantrip, you cast it over and over again.
I also love what they did with Mage Armor. Mage Armor normally, you know, is kind of a, you know, cast it right before combat because it's going to go away.
Yeah.
They made Mage Armor's duration 24 hours.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So yeah. So it's like, boop. All right, I'm good to go.
Let me wake up for the day. Mage Armor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
That's cool.
Yeah. And the bonuses to that one aren't duration based because it's period 1 day.
As you level up, they get more to your armor class and saves. And,
yeah, you get bonuses to armor class or bigger bonuses to armor class, bigger bonuses to saves. So I suppose we should start talking about rolling in this for skills and saves and such. So for rolling, you have your normal, you know, success and failure.
Mm-hmm.
They also added the things called critical success and critical failure. And there are 2 ways to do this. You can either roll a 20, like an attack roll, you roll a 20, that's a critical. You roll a 1, that's a fail. Mm-hmm. You can't generally critically fail an attack, you just fail. But if you're rolling a save and you roll a 1, that's a critical fail. The other way to get critical successes and fails is to beat or miss the difficulty by 10.
So if
the difficulty is 24 and you roll a 35, you have critted even if it wasn't a 20.
Yes.
That's cool.
And if the difficulty is a 24 and you roll a 14 or below, well, you have now critically failed. And they do
like that.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that. I will quickly. I have Lightning Bolt right in front of me. So success is half damage per normal. Critical success is no damage. Failure is full damage. Critical failure is double damage.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
Like if you fail against a fear effect, you're just frightened. If you critically fail, you must run away.
There's a feat called Assurance, which means you always roll at least a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, they've done some really nice things that I like. I guess we can dive into combat from here.
Yeah. One more thing to say.
Oh.
As you level, your level adds into skill checks and attack checks and all the rest.
Yeah. So everybody has, at level one, everybody has a base attack bonus. Well, not necessarily. There are some, or no.
Everybody well, if you're trained attack. In it, you get your level.
Yeah.
You get if your you're, level. If you are not trained in it, you get the -4 plus your level.
Yeah.
And of course, what you're trained in depends on what class you picked. They kept that.
Yeah. So, you know, your wizard can pick up a greatsword at level one. Not going to be great with it, but they can.
Right.
But that also means your level 10 fighter is probably going to be like expert in something. So he's going to be rolling a +12 on everything, which means if he goes up against any level one wimps, he's just going to mow them down.
Yeah, totally.
Right. They adjusted things because they found out that the fighter was not hitting as often at higher levels. So they did adjust a few things here and there. I'd have to specifically look at that, but that's one of the things I remember. I think it was like a 75% hit, and they weren't, or it was 75% or lower. And so they adjusted it so that the fighter hits more often, because that's what they're supposed to do.
That's their job.
Right. That's what they do. Kind of.
But yeah, that goes for like spell, your DC, your spell DC to save against. If you cast a spell that they have to save, it adds your level in. So the big buff higher level really means something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And DCs are so much easier to calculate now. It is your level plus your proficiency plus 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's it.
Yeah.
Period. So that's if you're
straightforward.
Plus your stat there.
Oh, well, yeah, plus your stat. Well, yeah, that's in your proficiency. Yeah. So if you're rolling against something with stealth, I don't have to, you know, against a monster that's stealthing, I don't have to go, all right, what the heck did it roll? I just look at it and go, okay, that's the difficulty, and go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So they've made things a lot more streamlined that way.
That's cool.
Yeah, I do like that. They also, we'll dive into combat real quick.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed right off the bat is you start off with a lot more hit points.
Mm-hmm.
But they also up the damage on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, which probably makes it a lot easier on scaling problems.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
So fights don't necessarily last longer if you can manage to stack up some crits or get lucky and hit consistently, but they can. Mm-hmm. And you're far less likely to fall over dead.
Yeah. For example, we just got through the first encounter of part four, which was against a lake monster, a sea serpent, that had 215 hit points. It lasted 9 rounds.
Whoa.
Just under a minute, and I about killed everybody. But combat, I love combat, I love combat, I love combat, because the action economy is awesome. As opposed to doing standard action, move action, you know, swift action, immediate action, all this that 3.5 had. No, it's 3 actions, that's it, you're done.
Right. And so what they did for spellcasting, which is cool, is every, you know, they split up, you have verbal, somatic, material components.
Mm-hmm.
Using each of those as an action. So if you have a spell that has verbal and somatic components, there's a verbal casting action, a somatic casting action. That's 2 out of your 3 actions for the round. And so they have, with their feats, you add another verbal or another somatic to add on the extra effect.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go for more actions. You know, I need to do more stuff this round. Or you can say, I need this spell to have that extra oomph behind it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The easiest example of this without going for feats is everybody's favorite classic magic missile. Mm-hmm. Basic magic missile is you can cast it as one action, and it it does
you
like
get one missile.
You get one missile. You do two actions. This is at level one. You do two actions, it's two missiles. And three actions, it's three missiles. As you get up in level, you can get two missiles per action, and so on. So it doesn't max out at five.
Every two levels, you can shoot one additional missile with each action you spend. So if you cast it at third level, you get three missiles per action used on it. So that's up to nine in a round. You cast it at fifth
level. That should be six. It's an additional
six. Yes. Pardon me. So if you cast it at fifth level, you get nine. If you cast it at seventh, you would get 12.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So they made it like even scarier than it used to be.
I mean, you're still using a seventh level spell slot of magic missile, but it would be a lot of missiles.
Sure. Yeah. That's really cool.
So that the thing is, that would be seventh level. You do all three. You're talking like 12 missiles. So it's a it's 12 D4.
Plus one.
Yeah, 12 D4 plus 12.
Right. So you have, just to understand combat, you have three actions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then does movement count as one of these actions?
Yes. Yeah. There are two movement actions. There is stride, which is moving your movement speed. Mm-hmm. And then there is step, which is the 5-foot step that does not trigger reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They also
cautious have, and not cautious.
Yeah, they have strike, which is hitting with whatever. Strike, stride, cast. I mean, they've got
your things like interact with something. Is an action. You pick up a forge.
Or something. Activate is an action, like activating a wand or a staff or magic item.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the strike actions, what they did is every strike afterwards, you can strike with all three actions.
At level one.
Minus five at each additional attempt.
I was just about to ask about that.
So yeah, at level one, you know, if you are up in somebody's face, you know, you can swing at them three times. Or, you know, if you're using a ranged weapon, you can fire a ranged weapon three times. But that first attack is going to be normal. Your second attack is minus five. Your third attack is minus 10. So at first level, you're not necessarily going to hit, but you can sure try it.
Yeah,
we actually had this happen in one of the games. This was one where we were all playing people who could heal because we were up against undead. They said everybody should heal, so okay. And I was playing a sorcerer with a staff of healing, which is a crap, you know. Crap for combat was my only actual melee weapon. I was about out of spells. So the thing is almost dead, and we're swinging at it. I got to my third strike. I said, well, a natural 20 always hits. I might as well try. And I rolled a natural 20. I had one hit point left and died.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, you know, you could still hit, you know, if that's your only action.
So with that, what about dual wielding?
Dual wielding? Ah, see that.
do you then get to six attempts?
Depends. If you're a ranger, the answer may be yes, but the ranger has feats that allow you to hit with both weapons.
Yeah.
Some of those take two actions.
Yeah. Like, for example, level one feat called double slice. It's two actions. Make one strike with each of your required weapons, both at your current multiple attack penalty. Second strike takes a minus two circumstance penalty if the weapon doesn't have the agile trait. If both strikes hit, combine damage and add any applicable enhancements from both weapons. For purposes of resistance and weaknesses, this is considered a single strike. Counts as two attacks when calculating your multiple attack penalty. So if that's your first attack in a round, yes, you get to swing with them both, but that last attack, if you choose to take it, is still going to be at that minus 10.
But if you're trying to beat past like a level 5 damage resistance type thing, you put it all in one column to add up against. Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, your shield types, your cleric, your paladin, your sword and board fighter, there's an action called raise shield. If you have a shield and you decide that you're just going to wail on somebody, you've got the shield, but it's giving you no bonus after your round. You have to say, yeah.
You have to burn an action to put it into position to block. So it's an active defense.
Yeah, there are ways to get free actions to raise it. If you specialize,
there's a feat
in it
that gives you a reaction that it automatically raises.
Yeah, it can only be used for that. And they have, not everybody gets an attack of opportunity in this game anymore.
They have reactions, and they're triggered by different things. Like counterspell is a reaction to somebody casting a spell.
Right.
that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So they've made it. One of the things that they found in high level play in first edition Pathfinder is nobody wanted to move. They would get up in somebody's face and they would just wail on them because they didn't want to risk that attack of opportunity because it could flatten you just right off. So they did away with that. I mean, there are still enemies that get it. And fighters get it a lot earlier than paladins do. Because, you know, that's their thing. But yeah, it's, I like it because it makes the battlefield less static, which is kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. That adds an interesting layer of play to it when you don't have to worry about.
Yes, it does.
Moving around.
Yeah. I feel
like that would make all the difference to a lot of fights.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause like if your rogue is in a bad position, like up against somebody and they're like, oh crap, if I move, I'm dead. No, they can move out and reposition. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that your wizard walking up to a fight, yeah, they're going to get attack of opportunity, but walking up to like a cleric or somebody for a touch spell or a dragon. I don't know. I haven't really looked at the dragons, but you know, up against certain monsters. We haven't fought one. That may be coming. May or may not. We'll see. Can walk up to these things and do a touch attack. A touch spell and not necessarily get wailed on right away.
Right.
So, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they got rid of, defensive cast or, you know, trying to, you know, rolling for that.
They don't have, basically it's assumed if you have anything that takes longer than the 6 seconds, the three actions of the round, you're just not casting it in combat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Or you have a bunch of friends that are going to keep you safe while you do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the time, not so much.
Wow. Really
so yeah. Cool. Yeah. That I wasn't sure I was going to like it. Mm-hmm. It sounded promising, but when we got into combat for the first time, I went, okay, yeah, I'm digging on this because yeah, as you said, it's like, if you want to do three strikes, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course there are things.
The coolest thing, heal. If you cast it as a single action, it's a touch spell. If you cast it as two actions, you can do it at range. If you cast it as three actions, it is an AOE. Area of effect.
Whoa.
What?
Oh, yeah. So,
what?
So,
what?
Oh, yeah. The good thing about doing that is you get everybody.
The bad thing is you get everybody. That includes bad guys if they're within the ring. Well, unless they're undead, and then you can just, you know, frag them with it.
The other bad thing is it doesn't heal nearly so much.
Mm.
At first level, it's going to heal whatever your modifier is.
Okay.
So if you have a wisdom of 18, it's going to heal the plus 4.
Right.
To everybody. That's significant, though, in some fights at first level.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, totally.
And the example, because heal also harms undead, they put that in. So the first level dungeon has a room full of skeletons. So if you have your cleric that can cast the 3-action heal, you do it twice, they're all dead.
Yeah, they have like 6 hit points. So yeah, and that also heightens. So they get a channel a certain number of times per day.
Mm-hmm. That's the cleric, yeah.
And that's the cleric, and it, all it is a heal spell, and it functions as a heal spell. So they can do, you know, the 1 or the 2 or the 3. And like I said, at basic level, your 3 is only your modifier. You heighten it for every level. And it increases by 1d8, or if you're using the 1 or 2 action to heal actual living, it heightens by 2d8.
So a second level heal spell can heal 3d8,
mm-hmm.
Plus your spellcasting modifier, or if you do the 3 action, it will heal 1d8 plus your modifier.
Yeah, to everything.
Gotcha. Hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's they've done a lot of little tweaks that have made things really cool. I think we've covered most.
They did crank way down some of the classic cheap spells.
Oh, yeah.
Haste gives you one additional action that can be used to move or to hit things, and that's it.
Sure. Okay.
It is not the I win button that it was in some of the other editions.
Yeah. There's so much that packed into this system. It's really hard to try and cover all of it. I was going to say the for combat, like I said, the strikes are -5 and -10 for 2 and 3. Mm. They have things called agile weapon and their modifier is -4 per strike. So it would be -4, -8. So again, So for your finesse rogue, most of their weapons are going to be agile. So they're not having to worry so much about that.
Yeah.
Because most of what they're going to be doing is sneaking and stabbing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, nice. That sounds like a great system. It sounds like they've really upgraded things from the, I guess, first edition Pathfinder.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Well, thank you both for talking us through this. And it sounds like they've done a really cool job. And I personally really like how they've done the ancestry and heritage thing.
Yes.
It's an interesting aspect of playing with races.
I like how they made some of these casters a whole lot cooler to actually play.
Yeah, they've added a lot more story elements to the casters.
Definitely.
You know, I'm usually a get in and hit it kind of player with my characters, but after hearing about the sorcerer and wizard, I'm like,
machine gun wizard might be way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling that's going to get tweaked, or at least changed a tiny bit, and say you can't do this in succession because
fair.
I don't know. You know, some weird stuff does get left in because by the time you're high enough level to take advantage of it,
yeah, it might not
that's
matter.
True.
Yeah,
yeah, you might need that.
I mean, bards at level 20 get a death effect.
One of
the level 20 feats that you can get is the ability to sing at people and cause them to die.
Mm-hmm, true.
Well, I can do that now. So.
Yeah, their ears just start bleeding. Yeah. They just fall over.
Pretty much. Oh, well, thank you both so much. This has been awesome. Where can people find you if they want to poke at you more about this Pathfinder playtest stuff?
If they want to come and poke at me, I am at evil_ST on Twitter. I welcome questions and comments.
I have a Tumblr account, Alpha Raposa, ALPHARAPOSA, and I do occasionally post weird stuff on there, like minor magical items I've come up with and plot ideas. So feel free to stop by, leave a comment.
Awesome. Well, thank you both again. This has been awesome.
Woo. We appreciate it.
Pathfinder. If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com. On the website, we have free resources to help you with your game, as well as cool things that you can purchase to help support our show, including original Mage Adventures set in our homebrew world.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors for all the awesome people that help us bring you this show. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod. Hit Dice is a meticulously edited real play of 5th edition D&D podcast that has amazing audio, a super fun cast. So if you haven't listened yet, you should.
Also, Kraken Dice, some of the best dice around. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, KrakenDice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at KrakenDice so that you can keep track of when they are going to release new dice
because some of them sell out stupidly quick, and if you don't get them, you just don't get them. So go check them out there. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE and get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off? Just keep in mind, you can not use that with any other discounts. So, you know, pick whichever one makes more sense for you.
And of course, last but not least, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. What they have, like phone cases,
mouse pads
and speakers and sweatshirts. Yeah. Yeah, it's really absolutely fantastic. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything and put it all in your cart, you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.
Check them out.
Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.